to the Relentless CEO Podcast. With Adam Kiefer. Follow your path to success alongside icons and industry leaders in martial arts, fitness, and more. Let's go. This is the Relentless CEO Podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to another exciting episode of the Relentless CEO Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Kiefer, and we are super excited to be talking about rotating curriculum this week, or as Jody Tension says it, rotating curriculum this week. So we're going to show you guys how to go from a belt-based curriculum, which is individual requirements for each individual belt, to a rotating curriculum, which is a much easier to manage class and curriculum structure, to sort of our version and what we've evolved a rotating curriculum to make it so it's not as memory-based as most martial arts schools are going about it. So we're jumping right into this episode, whiteboard style. You're going to learn everything you need to maximize your curriculum. And if you get a lot of value out of this podcast, please remember to share it with others, like, subscribe, and let's jump right in. Today we're going to be covering rotating curriculum and how to properly structure it so you can easily manage any class at your facility. Before we jump into that, let's take a look at what traditional martial arts curriculum has looked like for ages. So traditionally, let's say we have three different class levels, beginner, intermediate, advanced. And just for the example of this, we're going to say that we have four belts per level. Okay. Traditional curriculum typically has at white belt, there's a list of requirements. So they need to learn ABC in order to move to yellow belt. Okay. And then yellow belt, they have to learn DEF. This is just curriculum. To move to orange belt and so on. And it goes down all the way where every single belt has a unique set of curriculum that they need to learn in order to get to the next belt. Many of you guys that are watching this, even if you're doing rotating curriculum now, are probably coming up through the belt system when you were younger through something similar to this. If not, whoever your instructor was, they were ahead of their time. So kudos to them. So when we're looking at this, there's a few problems that happen. Number one, if this is my beginner class, I now have four groupings of students. So white belts, yellow belts, orange belts, and camo belts. And I have four groupings of students that are all doing different curriculum, which means if I'm the only instructor on the mat, I have to probably go spend some time with the white belts to get them more of whatever they're learning. And then I have to move over to the yellow belts. And while I'm working with the yellow belts, all the other students don't have that much supervision, and a lot of them are going to be standing around because they don't know what to do. And I'm sort of hopping from group to group, and it probably feels like you are spinning a bunch of plates at the same time, just trying to balance them at this point. And I know how this feels because when I worked at my dad's school in Chicago, he had a very similar structure before we switched to rotating curriculum. So if I was teaching an intermediate class, I had four different sets of skills I was teaching. I had four different forms I was teaching. I had four different kicks I had to teach that they were testing on. And it was just a lot of curriculum to cover in one class. And then there'd also be those classes, like if we're doing forms, where I work with the green belts for a little bit, and then I get the blue belts the next to their form, and then the purple belts, and then class is done, and I didn't have time to teach the brown belts more of their form. Now we got an issue, because now some of your students aren't getting the attention that they need in class, and there's not a lot of one-on-one attention happening. Now, maybe if I had four instructors for this class, one work with each belt, it's going to work a little bit better. But also, my payroll is going to be higher. So a lot to deal with this system. And I typically, and I'm not trying to offend anyone here, I typically see schools that run this traditional curriculum system get stuck at a certain student count. There are outliers, okay, but for the most part, they get stuck at a certain student count, and it's because they can't manage more than that the way the curriculum is structured. Okay. Also, typically, if they do get past a certain student count, the quality gets drastically lower of their students because, again, there's not a lot of one-on-one time spent because you're just focused on trying to get curriculum to every single person on the floor. Okay, so this is how we don't want to do this. Okay, so beginner, intermediate, advanced. Let's jump into what a rotating curriculum would look like. So let's get rid of this. All right, so we're going to go rotating curriculum. All right, now, we still have beginner, intermediate, advanced for the example of this purpose. Okay, previously, curriculum was segmented by belt. Not anymore. with rotating curriculum, the whole plan is to have a class still, white belts, yellow belts, orange belts, and camel belts, but everyone in the class is doing the same requirements at the same time. Adam, how does that work? All right, here's what we're going to break down. And I will do it as an example on this beginner one, but it's really going to apply to all of them. So rotating curriculum is the name of this. I like to think of this more as seasonal curriculum. I think it's an easier explanation. So we have all these four belts in one class, right? And then let's go through. We have winter, spring, summer, fall. Let's say traditionally in my regular curriculum, white belts learn form one, yellow belts learn form two, orange belts learn form three, camel belts learn form four. All right, we're just putting this out here to make it easy to understand. All right, so in the beginner program, they have to learn form one, two, three, and four. They have to learn all of that, right? All we're doing here is instead of assigning a form to a belt, we're saying, hey, in winter, the whole class is going to work on form one. And then in spring, the whole class is going to go form two, form three, form four. So here's what's cool about this, right? Are they still getting all four of the forms learned in their first year of training through beginner class? Yes. But the cool thing is the entire class, every belt, regardless, is learning the same form at the same time, and the order doesn't matter. Now, one thing you may have to do is look at your forms curriculum. So when I first came to Arizona, I took over the martial arts school that we currently have now. And when I first got in there, they're doing Jinri Taekwondo curriculum, and it was belt-based curriculum. So every belt had a different form that they had to learn in order to move up, in addition to self-defense and combos and all this stuff, right? So when we got there, I'm looking at all this, and I'm seeing how hard it is for the coaches to teach an entire class of all different belts. So we started switching to rotating curriculum. And what I had to do is I had to look at all the forms in the Jinri Taekwondo system at the time, and I had to rearrange them because some of the forms didn't make sense. Like there was a green belt form that was longer than any other form. So I'm like, why is that being taught in the intermediate level? That should probably be more of an advanced form because of the length. So I actually went and regrouped the forms to make sure that if we were doing four forms in a specific level, a class grouping or level, that those four forms lengthwise and difficulty wise weren't that far off from each other. They're just different, right? And then I did the same thing for this and this. So yes, we rearranged the forms. We still taught all the forms that were part of the Jinri system at the time, but it was a much easier way to teach now. Because now, where I would have had 30 kids learning all different things, I now have 30 kids coming to the same class, all learning the same thing at the same time, which also makes correcting your students way easier. Because when you have 30 kids all doing the exact same move at the same time, it's very easy to spot who's doing the wrong foot forward or who is kicking with the wrong leg because everyone in the group is doing it together. Now classes become much more manageable for how I'm able to teach. Now, when you guys first do this, what I would do is list out all your curriculum. And for most of you, I'd say throw half that shit away because it's not servicing you in any way. For example, if I use the Jinri curriculum that used to be taught at our school, not anymore, but used to be taught. I'm not trying to crap on anyone that teaches Jinri curriculum. I have a lot of friends that teach this. Okay, but there were sparring combos that were being required for the belts that would have done no good to ever use in sparring. Like half of them had a hammer fist in there. I don't know about you guys. I have not seen that many hammer fists in sparring, just saying. So we redid the entire curriculum the first time we went about installing rotating curriculum and made things a little bit less bogged down by the amount of curriculum and made it more focused on quality. So as you guys are switching to a rotating curriculum, the question to ask yourself is, what is the goal of black belt? Define this before you redo your curriculum. And here's why. When I asked myself this question, when I redid our curriculum for the final time and the last time, I said, what is the goal of a black belt? What does a black belt represent for MOVE martial arts? What is it? What do I want it to mean when they get a black belt? Well, number one, I want them to be a martial arts athlete. So I want them to be fast, quick, agile. Okay. I also want a clear differentiation between the picture of them as a white belt and a black belt just from their physical nature. They should look more muscular. They should look more toned as a result. And we're not a fitness program. We just focus on athlete development.
the second part of this is I want them to carry themselves like someone that has earned a competitive advantage when it comes to character development. So I want them to have more confidence than the average person. I want them to be a better problem solver than the average person. I want them to know more about money than the average person their age. So all of these things became part of our goal for being a black belt. The other part of this was, you know what? I want to equip them with the skills that would best serve them in a self-defense situation. I'm going to get a lot of crap for this. I already know it. For me, and this is my perspective, and this is what I want for my black belt, doesn't mean it's the same that you guys want for your black belt, but for me, a low block served no purpose in equipping my athletes with what they need to protect themselves. I've had to protect myself a few times in my life, and luckily it was never anything serious or big, but in those times, never did it pop in my brain, dude, low block, front kick, reverse punch. Like, no. It was like, cover my head so I don't get hit, protect myself, and then constrain the person so it doesn't get worse. It was never like, let me get in a horse stance and just like do a bunch of punches at them. Like, what is it? What is your curriculum serving? Is it serving this end result? And I know I just pissed off half of you guys watching, and I don't apologize because I want you to think differently. This is how you evolve as an industry. This is how you evolve as a business, right? So what is the goal of black belt? Notice what I said and what was omitted from this is the black belt, the goal of it for me was never to know the most, okay? It didn't start off with, well, I want a black belt to know forms 1 through 8. So you just want someone that's good at remembering things. Is that what you're saying? So for me, when I looked at our June Re curriculum we used to have, and I started thinking about what I actually wanted, and I'm watching the testings and graduations happens at my own school, I'm like, we are so involved and committed to memorization that I don't think any of my students could actually defend themselves if they needed to, because we're so focused on memorizing correct stances, blah, 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 blah. So for me, I wasn't feeling fulfilled with where the direction of our school was going in creating black belts. It didn't meet the standards that I wanted. So instead, I was like, you know what? We're going to change the curriculum to meet the standards that I want, that I find acceptable. So I can be proud when I see someone graduate and become a black belt and get to that level. So for me, it wasn't memory. And because it wasn't memory, then I was like, well, why are we doing forms? Like, if I don't care about memory, why are we doing forms? Why can't we just do like combos and do things that are going to be more applicable and be more likely to meet the goals that we have for a black belt? So I'm not telling you that you need to get rid of forms. I'm explaining what my viewpoint is of a black belt. And then what I'm encouraging you guys to explain, what is your goal of a black belt? What do you want a black belt to look like? What do you want them to embody? And then you reverse engineer your curriculum to meet those things, all right? So we sort of understand what rotating curriculum is now, okay, where everyone in the class is working the same form, they move to the next belt, and then the next season they move to the next one. Now, we still have requirements they need to meet in order to earn their belt. It's still an earn belt. It's not they just come to class for 3 months and then they earn a belt. Bullshit. They need to earn it. There needs to be some sort of progress made. There needs to be some sort of improvement made over the course of that term. Like, there needs to be intent behind the moves that they're doing, and the intent should become more evident as they climb the ladder to black belt. I want to make it very clear, this is not a time-based default, you get a belt in 3 months system. If you're doing it that way, I guarantee your student quality sucks. Every season, there are people that are not ready to move on, and that's okay, right? And here's the thing that we do that take this even farther, and this is thanks to Johnny Tension, who got me to think about this way differently. Okay, most of the people doing rotating curriculum are doing it this way. Form 1, Form 2, Form 3, Form 4. And what I sort of equate this to is the education system, but ask backwards. Basically, what we're doing in martial arts is we're like, all right, they're going to do a form for 3 months. Do a form for 3 months. That means they're coming to class 2 times per week. Let's just say it's 8 times a month, right? So they're coming to class that entire time 24 times in that entire 3 month period. Now, most of you guys do 45 minute classes, which means if we do 45 minute classes, that means they're only getting an hour and a half every 2 times they come in to the school, right? That's an hour and a half of training. So if we look at what 8 classes is, that's 6 hours of training. So in a 3-month period, it's 18 hours total of training that they're getting. So we want them to practice a form for that 18 hours and then never focus on that form again until they get all the way to black belt, and expect them to be a high quality on the 18 hours they put in learning that form. Meanwhile, when they go to school, they're at school for 8 hours a day. That means an entire week of school, 5 days, they have 40 hours of curriculum that they're doing. And 40 hours a week for an entire year on what? Addition and subtraction. So for an entire year, they're doing addition and subtraction at school. An entire year. But our weird asses are like, let's have them do the same thing for 3 months, but then they're going to get bored of it. So let's just completely teach them something new the next season that has nothing to do with the previous season, because we don't want them to get bored. All right. Some of you guys are on board with this and you're like, they are going to get bored, Adam. Like, you don't know. You got to disguise repetition. I agree with disguising repetition. But why are there people that do boxing their entire freaking life and only learn 8 punches? But they do boxing their whole life with only 8 punches. What keeps them interested? Adam, that's a question for you guys. That's not hypothetical. You got to answer that yourself. But when we look at this, what it should be is addition and subtraction for the entire year. It's not at school, first semester addition and subtraction. Then we're going to do multiplication. And then we're going to do division. And then we're going to do algebra. How terrible would your kids be at math if the school system just switched every semester to a new theme that had nothing to do with the previous semester? So what we've done, thanks to Mr. Johnny Tension, is we're doing addition and subtraction for a whole season. And here's how we do this. I'm going to erase this. We're going to call this, let's just do this, Seasonal Curriculum 2.0. Boom. All right. We're going to trademark that right after this episode. All right, Seasonal Curriculum 2.0. We have this full year, right? Winter, spring, summer, fall that we're doing. Now what we're going to do is we're going to create a base curriculum for that entire year that there's going to hit over and over and over again. So for us, we will do something like this, where this entire year they have a base combo. So let's say it's jab, cross, and isolation, jab, cross, back to back. And then we go head shield. That's all one combo. Cross, number one, front kick. And this is just an example, cross. So when we break this down, and then they have some basics that they work on throughout this year. So we have footwork, we have circles, half circles, and forward and backwards shifts. They have listening positions that we do for beginner, and then a couple defensive moves, okay? But here's the thing. The core combo that they test on every season doesn't really change that much. Okay, so season one might be jab, cross, shield, cross, number one, front kick, cross. Then season two, they're going to come in, and guess what? It's going to be jab, cross, drop, cross instead of a shield, and maybe number two front kick instead of number one front kick. But notice, the core of it still stays the same from season to season. We're not like, all right, that's the combo for season one, and then next season, we're going to go jab, cross, hook, overhand, leg kick. No, we're not doing that. They're pretty much working in the first year, front kick and round kick, that's it for what they're testing on. And then a variation of this combo that we're teaching and different variations of footwork. So we might do like winter, the footwork they're testing on is circles and half circles. And then spring, they're testing on forward shifts and backward shifts. And then summer, we go back to testing circles and half circles. And then fall, they test forward shift, backward shift. So we're breaking this up how we do it over the course of a year. But for the entire year, they really just have one core curriculum that they're mastering. Now, I guarantee, because of this, if you want to come to my school, you're more than welcome. Most of my white belts and yellow belts, Johnny and I were just talking about this the other day, most of my white belts and yellow belts have better jab crosses, shields, crosses, and front kicks than most advanced students at other schools. And the reason is because they are getting more reps before they just move on to another thing. But Adam, are you saying your beginners don't know how to sidekick? We use sidekicks once in a while, but they're not testing on it yet. Because I want to get them the foundation to build off of. Now, yes, we will add things into this curriculum during this year that they don't test on, but they learn. So they're going to learn and test on round kicks and front kicks, like I said. But they're also going to do some sidekicks in there. They're also going to probably do like a couple leg kick round kicks. They're going to do some head kick round kicks and do some body round kicks. But they don't test on everything. It just sprinkled in there to help them. Then when we get down to here, guess what? We start working side kicks and hook kicks this year. Okay, so now we're getting them really good at side kicks and hook kicks. Does that mean that we stop doing front kicks and round kicks? No. They're still doing it. They're just not tested on it like they were up here. But they're still in the practice and so on. Okay, and then advanced, similar structure, right? And guess what? The intermediate curriculum builds off the beginner curriculum and it gets progressively more challenging. Okay, so like in this curriculum, we have an 8-part mini series that they learn, which are all 2 combo punches. And then guess what? We have a Super 8 mini series that they learn here of 8 different sets of 3 punch combinations. Okay, so it's all building off of each other and getting drastically harder as they go on, but it's also doing it in an incremental way. If we look at how martial arts curriculum has been structured for decades, okay, it's we teach this group of basics, and then we go to the next belt, and it's like, hey, we're probably not going to do those group of basics that you learned for a long time, or the self-defense you learned, or the form that you learned, so let's just move to a whole new thing now and teach you all new stuff. And then we reset and we teach all new stuff. It is so much damn curriculum. If you look at other sports, okay, let's just take basketball because that's what I grew up playing. We take a look at basketball. How much stuff are they shoving in you to learn in your first year of basketball as a kid? Pass, and it's usually one type of pass, like a chest pass. Shoot, and maybe like block out or rebound and defense. So you have 4 things that you focus on probably for the entire first year. And most cases, they're having you start as a kid shooting closer to the basket than farther away. So they're not having you do layups, three-pointers, dunks, like all that stuff. It's let's get the basics. You're going to learn just to shoot from under the rim like this. Okay, you're going to learn maybe once you get that good, we'll move you to a free throw line. We're going to practice layups because those are fundamentals. We're going to practice chest passes because those are fundamentals. Dribbling, yeah. But they're not, you don't see like, okay, first 3 months, let's teach you how to dribble, just stationary. All right, and then next 3 months, we're going to start going between the legs. Okay, then the next 3 months, we're going to go behind the back. And then this one, we're going to go behind the leg from a dribble. So now they're just changing every 3 months instead of just like, hey, let's get you dribbling and walking. Let's go back to just basic dribbling and walking. All right, now we're down here. We're going to start running with our dribble or sprinting with our dribble. And then, you know what? We're going to do our first, like, variation. Let's cross over. We're going to do a crossover. Then we're going to go running and dribbling. Crossover. And then we're going to the next one. So now, for their first year of training, this kid can dribble and keep control of the ball without taking his eyes off of it. Second year of training, now I can run, still not have to look at the ball. And I'm confident in being able to run whatever I need to, change up speeds, whatever, while I'm dribbling. And I'm learning how to cross over. Okay, and then third, I'm now being tested on, all right, between the leg crossover. So now I'm going to start adding things together. Okay, and it gets more difficult here, but my foundation is strong throughout and everything builds off the previous season. I'm not a basketball coach. So I probably fucked up a whole lot of that, but just stick with me, okay? So going back to 2.0 curriculum, what I would like you guys to think about, what I'm going to challenge you guys to think about as we sort of pare down from the memorization side of things, unless that's your goal for a blackboard, is to memorize a bunch of shit. What I want you to think about is chunking your curriculum by year first. And then splitting up what is required and going, all right, let's do part of what's required for winter. Then let's do the other half of what's required for spring, and these should be related to each other. And then let's go back and revisit what we did the first season. And then let's go back and revisit what we did the next season. So we're just alternating, right? But algebra all trade, what's required is not that different from each other. It's just variations of each other. If you guys don't believe this is going to work, let me explain it to you this way. I went in to our school to guest teach, and I taught an entire class of 45 minutes, and all we worked on was jab. Now, that sounds boring if I say it like that, right? Because a lot of you guys are thinking, well, if we're doing the same thing for a year, it's going to be so boring. You guys don't understand the amount of variations of this, okay? So I have very basic, just like step and jab, right? With my front foot. I also have step with my back foot and jab because I'm setting up something else, okay? Maybe I were going jab to leg kick afterwards. I also have jab focusing on my head movement. I have jab to the body. I have jab to the head. I have pump jab. I have pivot step jab. I have all these different ways to throw a damn jab. I have double jab. I'm like the Tyson Fury, triple jab. I have all these variations to work a jab that I can sprinkle in throughout this entire year. So it's not just them doing this for a year. There's variations, there's levels to this. There's adaptations they make. Here's the great thing too. Now I can start really isolating in on how does this apply? How do I take this move and make it applicable no matter what the situation is, right? So if I'm thinking about, we're just gonna stick with jab. A lot of us just teach like front kick, for example, and we teach it the same way. It's like someone holds a pad, they stand there, they kick it, they put their foot down. Hold the pad, stand there, kick, put their foot down. And we always train just like kick, put your foot down. What's missing from our industry, in my opinion, except for some of the good combat gyms I see out there, is there's no taught of like, how do we get the right position before we throw the technique? So that move, what we do is like, all right, you're gonna learn the technique, but then we're gonna teach you how to get the right position to make that technique more successful. Because maybe it's jab, pull, jab, cross, okay? Maybe it's fake, so you get them to put their hands up, jab to the body. We're gonna go over all the different ways that we can throw a jab or create an opening for a jab as we're learning it. So now what's happening is we're not just teaching a technique anymore. We are teaching a concept around the jab. Yes, my kids know how to throw a jab hard. They know how to throw it fast. They know how to throw it to close distance. They know the variations of the jab that's going to help them to be more successful with it. That is what is missing from our industry, in my opinion. We're not teaching the entrances and exits. We're not teaching the setups. We're not teaching how to get them to manipulate their opponent's movement to set it up and make their movements more efficient. All right, that was a rant. Rant over. What I'm trying to hit home at is this. It is only boring if you make it boring. The only reason reps get boring is because we're not creative with it. We're not thinking about the end result. I have, here's the honest thing that I don't know if Johnny wants me to share, but I'm going to share it. If anyone sees this thread, I'll get canceled immediately. But Johnny and I, and Jonathan Frank's in there now too, we have an Instagram chat called Shitty Karate. This is a true story. And all we do is when we're scrolling our feed and we just see terrible martial arts, we send it to each other. We send each other the video. And now you guys are probably like, oh, you're just doing this to shit talk schools. No, it keeps us focused on our mission that should not be acceptable for the martial arts industry. That's what it does. There are videos. I need Johnny here before I go all out. There are videos we send each other that I get pissed off at because I am so disappointed in the lack of standards for that specific martial arts school. There is no standards. It's just like they are teaching, as Johnny would say, Dungeons and Dragons, mystical bullshit that is not actually servicing their students. But they're lazy instructors, so they just let it be. Or they're profitable, so they just let it be. We can do so much better as a martial arts industry if we take ourselves more seriously and be so much more creative in how we are approaching curriculum and curriculum development, structuring, engineering, and the delivering of that curriculum to our members. So I'm hoping for you guys, if you are a belt-based curriculum, I really hope you open your eyes a little bit to how you can structure this better. If you're already a rotating curriculum, I hope we open your eyes to, hey, maybe I need to revisit my curriculum, pare down some things, because maybe the way my curriculum is structured isn't doing any service to what I want my black belts to look like. And just being honest, how did this become evident for me? Two things. One, I remember sitting at one of my black belt tests when we were still doing junior taekwondo, and I'm watching the sparring combos. This is before we change them. And I'm just like, why are we testing them on all this? It's not doing them any good. It's not actually helping them get better with sparring, but we're testing them on combos because it's part of the curriculum. And I was like, just so disappointed. And I can see that there's so much curriculum that the quality of black belt that should be the quality of a black belt was not appearing in my school. And I knew it was too much curriculum. So that's number one. Number two, and I've told the story before, I remember taking my now 8-year-old Grayson to class when he was in beginner. And I remember watching him do a form. And I was sitting there with my wife. And I remember, and this is my own school, I turned to my wife and I'm just like, I would rather him do jiu-jitsu. I'd rather him do something that is actually going to help him with an end result besides knowing a bunch of stuff. And I'm not trying to insult any schools out there that are doing forums or not doing jiu-jitsu or combat, whatever. I'm just saying my personal opinion. I'm watching my kid do chop punches with good technique. I'm watching him do chop punches, but I'm like, what is this helping him with? Like, what is this? How is this getting him to the end goal I want as a parent? Because as a parent, I want a kid that's confident and capable of violence, but not violent. I don't want him going out and bullying kids. I don't want him going out and starting beef with other people. But when it comes down to protecting himself, his brothers, his family, in those moments, I may need him to be capable of violence because he needs to protect his family or protect himself or protect his life. So I need that element of him. And for me, watching him do chop punches in a front stance was not meeting that goal. And if I'm watching my own kid in my own martial arts school and I'm not happy with it, that right away tells me that I need to make drastic changes in our curriculum. Because if I'm not happy with my own kid doing it, why would I serve it to anyone else? It's like, if I own a restaurant, I'm the chef, and I'm not happy with how the food tastes, why would I keep serving the food that way? Because if I don't like it, guess what? My customers probably don't like it. So just some food for thought for all of you guys. If you guys have any questions on this stuff, please shoot me a message on Facebook or Instagram. I'm very active on those platforms. So if you just want to pick my brain on something or shoot me a question, I'm happy to help. If you want any more information about any of our services and how we can help you guys to grow and scale your school, obviously happy to help in that aspect as well. But I hope this helped all of you guys to rethink how curriculum is structured. If you're sort of on the edge of should I go rotating curriculum or not, I hope this pushed you over a little bit. But at the end of the day, this is just going to help lead to quality students down the road, and it's going to make you proud of the black belts that you're churning out of your school. Continue to like and follow for more, guys. We'll see you in the next episode. We're unstoppable. To the top, we about to go. That CEO, I need to know the impact. We about to grow. Competition comical. Straight A1, we on the road. Money focused for the goal. Tell them what they need to know. Yeah, we unstoppable.